Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is, the Bible is the Word of God. You can believe that. It's proven in the King James Scriptures. There's no doubt. I have given down, if you were looking at the blog today, you'd see that I have a bunch of scriptures laid out. And we're going to go there. We're going to start out in John chapter 7. We're going to read a couple verses there. We're going to go to Psalms 119 and then some others. And I'll give them to you as I go. I'll give you a couple of seconds to get to them. But before we get started, as always, I have a song for you this morning. Then we're going to go to prayer requests and praises. So this morning's song is Standing on the Promises of God. And it's about a minute and a half long. Just give me a second to get this thing cranked up a little bit. There you go. That for us. That's an Alan Jackson song. Anyhow, folks, like I said, I have some prayer requests. I have some stuff to get to you that I want to get the message out this morning. Let's just go right to it, and we'll go from there. Like I said, find your place in John 17, and then we'll read some scriptures from there, verse 1, and then 14 through 17, I believe I have down. But for right now, let's go to the prayer requests, as I have a lot of them this morning. Sandy Washer was asking for prayer for a couple of her friends. She's got one that's having marital issues and alcohol is involved, and someone doesn't want to quit it and don't want to stop. And if you're a Christian, you know that drinking becomes a problem. It's not something that's healthy. People say that it is. It's not. It's not even acceptable as far as I'm concerned as a behavior. Whether people want to believe it because they say it's in the Bible that you can drink wine and that you can drink a little and it's good this and good that. We no longer need it for what the purposes were meant for back when. It's nothing more than self-medication for other underlying issues. So please, hopefully they'll go get some marriage counseling. She said Jill has a 9-year-old chocolate lab, a friend of hers named Jill, Jetta. Jetta's got serious health problems. For the past 6-7 years, she's been diagnosed with cancer and having chemotherapy. Evan, who's battling severe anxiety and a bad reaction to some medicine that he's taken, a prescription. Pray also for his wife as they're going through that. A friend from work, Brenda. Brenda's out of work because she's sick. Her mother's sick. Her mother has she's been battling stage 4 cancer. Her name is Jeanette. That's Brenda's mother. Her sister's here. She's sick as well. There's some other friends, Michael, who was had to go see his cardiologist to discuss catheter ablation and ablation of his because of AFib. I think he's going to go to Massachusetts, it says, and he's afraid of the anesthesia and the whole procedure. Pray for a ladies group, Kathy Logan, who's handling. Kathy's asked, she mentioned it this week. I told her we'd mention it in prayer. She was asked to run the group. Let's hope that it grows, that it continues to do well. Marcy Bowden having feet pain this past week. She hasn't been able to do much because her feet are bothering her. Rebecca has a friend. My daughter Rebecca has a friend who's struggling with some issues, and she moved out of her home with her spouse, and she's now living with her mom. Things aren't going well there. And whenever God is in things, folks, if you're a Christian and, or you're seeking the Lord, the devil will do anything to destroy that family. He'll do anything he can to ruin your relationship. He'll even go so far as to not only just ruin your relationship, but make you do things that you don't really want to do. So be very careful. Be cautious of what you're doing with your life, folks. Terry Williams, she's asked for her son, Guy Good. He's 22. He's struggling with some issues right now. And hopefully Guy will get his get around someone that can share the gospel with him and start going to church and learn what it means to be a good Christian. Jericho Kamm, he's a friend of mine on Facebook. He's going for testing over some issues with his heart. He's not doing well. Sylvia Caffrey asked for prayers for a friend who's seeking employment. Lovis Noyes asked for prayers for Oren. Oren's a little boy at Lovis Church, and Lovis has been a good Christian follower for the last several years on my page. Oren's family, is going through this with little Oren, and he's receiving chemo for leukemia, chemotherapy for leukemia. And the poor little guy is suffering. You know he is, folks, so please pray for little Oren. Susan Barnes asked, she's a friend of mine on Facebook. We're not relatives, but we're close enough as brothers and sisters in Christ. Asked for prayers for her grandson, Levi, to stop living away from God and see the error of his ways. So please pray for Levi that he'll come around, that someone will see him and they'll start to witness to him and be able to get him on the right path. Pray for Marcia Rivas dealing with cancer. Joseph Gray suffering in pain from a broken hip and cancer. Peggy Borrell's family, having lost members of her family to cancer in the past year. Pray for her and her family. And a neighbor now that's been diagnosed with cancer. Pray for Maria Capra Fulton. Two of her sisters are talking after 20 years. This is a praise, folks. Pray for those sisters that they would continue to be reconciled in the Lord, and that that all of them would start to be more of a family, because we're getting near those times where the world's trying to separate us, and it's a good thing to see and praise them for getting together after 20 years, folks, of not really talking at all. So please pray for Maria Capra's two sisters and for Maria as well. Here's a praise for you too. Lisa Marie Middleton has said, praise for God for his grace, for his mercy on all of us. And she asks, we continue to pray for the lost souls around us that they would come to know Jesus. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity, Lord, to ask for prayers, to come to you, drop all of this at your feet, that we know that you would take care of it for us, that you would handle every issue that we have, because your word says it's when we come to you that you will provide for us. And we're asking you to provide the safety and the care and to just be at peace knowing that whether we live or die, whether we're sick or whether we're healthy, that you're always with us. I heard a song this morning that the Lord does not ever leave us. I don't remember the exact song, but it talks about a person who was on their cell phone that ran through a stop sign and a tractor trailer ran right into her. But he was there. God was there when she was on the phone. He was in the rig with the tractor trailer. He was there when she lost the moments here on this earth, and he's there with her now in heaven. God bless you. Thank you, Father, for letting us share with you, and thank you for all of the prayers and the praises. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, I told you we have some things to go through. I'm hoping. I never really seem to have enough time to get the message out, but I go through it, and I go through it fast. So it's going to be another fast-paced message today, so stay in touch and stay in tune. The word is the truth. There's no doubt in my mind. The Bible is true. There's nothing that will ever stop me or convince me to believe in that my Bible is not the truth. I use a King James Bible. It's a reference Bible. It's a good Bible. If you have the opportunity to get one, get a King James Bible, and I swear you'll never regret it if you read that Bible. We could not know God or Jesus or how to go to heaven if we didn't have a Bible. If we did not have the Word of God, we would not be able to do that. Without the Bible, we would not have been taught right from wrong. Without the Bible, we would not have the truth about going to heaven, nor what salvation is. We wouldn't have a clue about how to get to heaven. If they took the Bible away, which this filthy, rotten world is trying to do its best it can to destroy it, they've actually gone so far as to corrupt the Bible. They've gone so far as to, some people would say that they've, what do you want to call it, uh-oh. They've not only destroyed it, folks, but they've gone in and they've changed verses around. They've taken verses out. They've added their own words. The Bible says in Revelation not to add to or take from, or you're going to suffer the wrath of God when the time comes. I can tell you that much. Without the Bible, we would not have the truth about going to heaven. You think about that, folks. We could never even know what heaven is had the Bible not been written. Somehow God wanted us to know that we didn't have to just die and be buried in the ground, that the day would come that only our body, our old, filthy, rotten body, would be put in the ground, but our spirit would go on to heaven. Praise God for that. The world would not have taught us Christ. The world wouldn't teach us about Christ. You think about that. The world's doing all it can right now to stop us from knowing who Jesus Christ was. In fact, to try to tell you that he's nothing but a good guy, if he even existed back then. And if you go look, not only are scientists now and some atheists even starting to realize that, wait a minute, they've done scientific studies and they found that the Word of God is the truth. They found it. They found passages. They found written scriptures. They found hieroglyphics, all these things that coincide with what's in the Bible and the Bible's prophecy. The Bible's prophecy is starting to unfold and people are seeing it. The world would not have taught us about Christ. They don't want us to know who Jesus Christ is, believe me. No other book can or will ever touch the life and soul of a person like a Bible will. You think about that. I'm an alcoholic, a drug addict, and I've done a lot of things wrong in my life. I would be out there just like living like a crazy madman. If I wasn't, somebody didn't share the gospel with me, if I didn't pick up a Bible and start reading it, I wouldn't be able to be here and share it with you right now. My guess is, and I believe this my whole heart, I'd be dead already. And I've never had the chance or the opportunity to share the gospel, not just with you folks, but with my children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he'll never depart from it. And I trust that my children, even though maybe at times just like their father or just like their mother, are rebellious, but yet they know the Lord. And the Lord never, ever leaves you. He says, once you're mine forever. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he meant that. It's the book that gives meaning to life and teaches to safely and positively preserve the soul. There is absolutely nothing. No other book on this planet can give you salvation like the book of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Faith in believing and knowing the truth is the only thing. It's not who wrote it physically, but spiritually, that changes the sinner. If you read the Bible, or if you start to read the Bible, if you even look into the Bible, you'll find you start to change. Whether you want to or not, the Holy Spirit is there, and he's guiding you and strengthens you, and he'll give you the scriptures and teach you how to live according to the scriptures. And know that even when you die, even though cancer can get into your body, even though sickness can get into your body, even though you could be maimed or you could lose a part of your body, God is always with you. He'll stay with you. He'll never leave you. Where my name is mentioned, says here, here's word. His word would never return void, he said. God's word is mentioned. It'll never be void. It says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto or whereto I sent it. Now you think about this, folks. God said that, and he meant it. His word shall not return unto me void. Ever. Period. Zip. Zero. Now, the words in red in the Bible, and I looked this up because I wanted to make sure I got it right, which I already knew, but I wanted to know one thing that I didn't know. Red letter edition Bibles are those in which the dominical words, those spoken by Jesus Christ, commonly only those spoken during his corporal life on earth. In other words, these words that are printed, it says rubricated, in red ink, are the words that Jesus Christ himself spoke. So somebody had proof that he spoke them. That's why when you have a red letter Bible, if you look at it and it's written in red, Jesus said it, therefore it's the truth. It's not just that somebody else wrote it down, folks. These are the words of Jesus Christ. We do have the word. We do have the truth. Who's opened up the Bible? Or at least through the ages, we have come to know these words by faith to be of Jesus Christ. Mine, like I said, this is where it comes from. I take mine from King James Bible, and I believe it. I hold my life to that. I was taught by it, and I believe it. I believe the Bible is the word, and I'm not going to change from that. John 17:1 says this. If we look at verse 1, it says, Jesus, right? It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. There's prophecy right there, folks. That's the truth. Jesus Christ said it. He said there's prophecy involved there. These are his words. If you go down through 17, it's written in red. It's written in red for a reason. He wanted us to know what he was prophesying. He wanted us to know that the Old Testament, the stuff that was brought up back when, is the truth. I read something this morning about ever since Adam and Eve, the Bible's been in dispute. You know why? Because the devil tricked Eve to believe in that God did not say that. And people today, just like then, are doing the same exact thing. They're doubting the word of God. They're doubting that the Bible's the truth. Now, I will say this. Listen, there's a gazillion Bibles out there. There's people that have written Bibles and some good ones. And some of them come from the same text as this King James Bible of mine. They've used the King James to write these other Bibles. There's some Bibles that were written and people have taken the King James verses out of it and put their own in or exempted them altogether. Okay? So there, I wouldn't waste my time with that Bible because it's like watching a movie show or listening to half a song and not knowing the ending. If you don't know the rest, what good is it? If you don't know the truth that somebody's only feeding you partial pieces, what is that? That's confusion, am I right? Who's the author of confusion but Satan himself? You want the truth? Read the truth. Don't go reading some phony book. There's only one good book, as far as I'm concerned, and it's the Holy Bible, the Word of God, and there are a couple of them out there. I prefer the King James. There are some that like the Authorized Version, and there are some that like the ESV. There's a couple others out there, but I'm telling you, folks, be careful what you read, and be careful who you listen to as a preacher. The preacher is the one that's going to get you wrong. There's people that go to certain churches, and I won't go down the list of names right now, but there's certain churches out there that lie to their congregation and tell them that they can lose their salvation. Or they'll tell you that Jesus isn't even really this Messiah. They will tell you that Jesus wasn't the Savior. I can tell you right now, my Bible says yes, it is. And not only does it say yes, it is, there is nowhere in the Bible that I ever seen yet that God said he's an Indian giver and he gave you salvation to take it back anytime he wants. He never said that. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You think about the prodigal son. He went and left his father, and he came back. That story wasn't put in the Bible for nothing. That story was put in there for a reason. You may walk away from God, but you'll always go back to him. You may go back to him on your last minute of death, but you may think that you're going to walk away. You'll never leave him nor forsake him. He says, look, we're all going to die one death. That's the body. But the second death is the one when you are sitting at the judgment seat. So you're going to see him again someday. You're not going to escape that, folks, as much as you think you will. Now, let's go on. It said here, I put down 14 through 17 for John, and it says, I have given them thy word. This is Jesus saying, thy word. Whose word? God's word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, when Jesus said he gave the word to his disciples, he gave God's word to them. Not only did he give them the word, he gave it to them, and the people hated him for it. And God knew that, and Jesus knew that. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. You see, he said, I pray that you'll protect them. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, he says in verse 17. Thy word is truth. How can you dispute this? Let's look at Psalms 119, 160. According to David in the book of Psalms, verse 160 says this, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Okay, you can't dispute this stuff, folks. This is written there, and it's there for a reason. These words were specifically mentioned by certain people that knew it. David was alive back then in biblical times. We can't dispute that. They know that from history. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says this. You should read this whole chapter, folks, to get a brighter understanding of God's word. But because of time, I don't have the time right now. I can only use the two verses. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and almost anybody that believes the Bible or knows of the Bible uses this verse and a couple others, but this one here. They said because it's inspired by God, it's the truth. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That means to do right. It's written so we know what's the right way and what way to live and how to know what's right, folks. God gave us that. He gave us that because he didn't want us to live like this world. That the man of God, verse 17, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Furnished, folks. Think about that. How could your body be furnished if we never had the Bible? How could we believe what the truth is? How could we believe God's word if somebody just told us it, but we didn't have history, we didn't have the archaeologists and the science to back it up, and it's the truth? And if you don't believe me, you're listening to me through a computer right now. You go on the internet and you type in scientific archaeologist digs that prove the Bible, and it'll come up with all kinds of stuff. Colossians 1:5-6 says this, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before," look at this, "in the word of the truth of the gospel." Your hope is laid up in you in heaven. That means because of the word of God, your hope of getting to heaven is written in this word, the truth, the gospel, which verse 6 says this, "which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you." That's the word of God that brings good fruit. It also does it for you since the day you heard of it. That's the word of God and knew the grace of God in truth. We can't dispute it, folks. No matter how much we want to live in sin and live in lust and desire and all of the things of this world, the only thing that proves the truth and what's good for us and what's right for us is the Bible. Everything else is just us living for selfishness ourselves. Look at Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. It says this. Romans 3 says, verse 3, "For what if some did not believe?" And there's many we know that don't, right? "Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Folks, I'm telling you, you may not believe, but the faith of God is real. I don't care who you are, where you are, or what you think in life about what you believe about God or the Bible, or you do not believe about God or the Bible, does not change the fact that God is real. It does not change the fact that faith in God is not real. It does not change the fact that God, none of this, it's all real. It's all truth. It's as good as if you open your eyes and saw it right in your face, if God was standing before you. You can deny it, but you can't escape it. It is the truth. It says it. "Or what if some didn't believe? Unbelief make faith of God without effect? No way. It's not going to do it. Verse 4, "God forbid," it says. "Yeah, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." You see, it says here, "that thou mightest be justified in the sayings of the Bible." Go get, excuse me, go get justified by the word. Go read the word. Go read the sayings of Christ. "And mightest overcome when thou art judged." Because the day of judgment will come for you, folks. It's going to come for all of us. But you're overcome the judgment because of Jesus Christ. Because you believe in Jesus Christ. Because just because a man doesn't believe doesn't mean he's not going to be saved. I'll tell you that. You think about this. If he denies Jesus Christ, if he doesn't believe it, that's one thing. He doesn't have salvation. He doesn't have God. He won't know what's real and what's not. He won't have the scriptures. That's true. But God is faithful and just to save anyone that believes in Jesus Christ. As it says in I believe it's John, "whosoever will." That means anybody. Whosoever will come to the Lord will get saved. Whosoever will means all of us. All we have to do is have the will to want to learn and to love Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says this, and if Christ be not risen, listen up, if Christ was not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. That means everything I just said to you is a waste of time and just words, and why you even bother to listen is beyond me. Look here. Verse 1 through 4 says this in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. To declare means this, to make it very clear. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you. He made it very clear the gospel was preached unto you. He made it very clear that you make the choice to believe or disbelieve. He made it very clear that he was real. All you had to do is believe. By which also ye are saved, verse 2, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. What did he deliver? He delivered the word of God, which he also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, Billy Graham has some things to say that I found last night on an interesting site. Billy Graham, why I believe the Bible is the word of God. If you go look that up, you'll find in there, it says this. This is a quote from him. 40 writers over 1,600 years in 66 books. The theme of the Bible is redemption, written from one end to the other. All over the world, men hunger to know God. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, all the religions of the world arise from man's searching for God. But God has already revealed himself. They're all constantly searching, but he's right here in this book. All these other religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and I don't care all the others out there that you know of. If they don't believe the Bible, then they're nothing but a bunch of phonies, and they're searching for the wrong thing. These ones that go around believing in the sun god and worshiping the fish or whatever and the cow and whoever. Trust me, they're worshiping the wrong god. I don't even worship the Bible. I worship God. I worship Jesus Christ. I worship the faith that I have. The Bible is a book that is an instruction manual to get me to have the knowledge to know what's right and what's wrong. Even our most atheistic scientists, Mr. Graham says, is this, are beginning to say that something's behind the universe. There's some sort of water behind the universe, and there must be some sort of intelligence. They may not say it's God, but we call him God. I know there must be a God, Billy Graham said. And he says this, and he has revealed himself in his son, Jesus Christ, but we get our knowledge of Christ out of the Bible. Only one or two other men contemporary with Christ ever mentioned that he ever lived, Josephus being one. Our total knowledge of Christ comes from the Bible. That's from Joseph. The prophetic message of the Bible are coming true in our daily, in our day-to-day lives. In 2 Timothy, written almost 2,000 years ago, it says, but know this, that the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, isn't that happening? Folks, you know all those things are happening. It's prophecy. It's written in the Bible. The Bible says in the latter period, travail shall increase. That means knowledge will increase. Daniel 12:4. Look what has happened in the last 75 years in this world. The whole world has become a neighborhood without being a brotherhood. That's precisely what the Bible said 500 years before Christ. It said the world's going to the people are going to hate one another, and we're already there. Folks, you look at what's going on in this world, the protesting and the hate among one another. They talk of love, but they lie. They're not interested in really in love. They're all about hating one another and destroying one another, backbiting, lying, gossiping, and chewing each other apart as best they can. If they're down on the ground, let's kick them some more until they're dead. 2,000 years ago, looking forward, Jesus said there would be a day like this. And here it is. Read your Bible, folks. I'm going to run out of time. Please look at John 10, 27 through 28. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'll read this right into the archives, but thank you for being here. 10, 27, 28, King James says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That is power, faith, and promise. Thank you for being here, and God bless you. I'm going to play one more song. It's only a couple of minutes, but it will play over into the archives. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Come find me, Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook, Preacher William Bill Barnes. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.